Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Tuesday, November 7th, 2017. Beginning with the mass shooting at a church in the small South Texas town on Sunday, at a news conference in Seoul, South Korea today, Donald Trump suggests that stricter gun control measures in the U.S. might have caused more deaths.
You've talked about wanting to put extreme vetting on people trying to come into the United States, but I wonder if you would consider extreme vetting for people trying to buy a gun.
Trying to what?
Buy a gun.
Well, you know, you're bringing up a situation that probably shouldn't be discussed too much right now. We could let a little time go by, but it's okay if you feel that that's an appropriate question, even though we're the heart of South Korea. I will certainly answer your question. If you did what you're suggesting, there would have been no difference 3 days ago. And you might not have had that very brave person who happened to have a gun or a rifle in his truck go out and shoot him and hit him and neutralize him. And I can only say this. If he didn't have a gun, instead of having 26 dead, he would have had hundreds more dead. So that's the way I feel about it.
And are you
not going to help?
And are you considering any kind of gun control policy going forward?
When you look at the city with the strongest gun laws in our nation is Chicago. Mm-hmm. And Chicago is a disaster. It's a total disaster. Just remember, if this man didn't have a gun or a rifle, you'd be talking about a much worse situation in the great state of Texas. Thank you.
Thank you.
The gunman who opened fire at the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, Texas, killed 26 people and wounded about 20 others, Devin Patrick Kelly. He was court-martialed for domestic abuse. Military records say he repeatedly struck, kicked, and choked his first wife and cracked his toddler stepson's skull. He was dismissed from the military in 2012 and should have been entered into a federal database. This would have prevented him from securing a military-style rifle and three other weapons over the last 4 years, but the Air Force failed to enter him into the database. The Pentagon's Inspector General is now looking into whether other cases failed to be reported to the federal database, but the Associated Press reports that the Pentagon has known for at least 2 decades about failures to give military criminal history information to the FBI. This includes the type the Air Force didn't report about the accused Texas church killer. Meanwhile, Democratic lawmakers are criticizing Congress for not enacting strong gun background check laws. New York Representative Hakeem Jeffries.
Another day, another tragedy here in America. These are difficult times in this country, and it seems that we spent the last several months careening from one tragedy to the next. From the congressional baseball shooting to Charlottesville, from Charlottesville to Las Vegas, from Las Vegas to the terrorist attack in New York, from the terrorist attack in New York to a mass shooting at a Baptist church in South Texas. Something is wrong here in America. And yet all we seem to do is to come to Congress, have a respectful moment of silence, and then move on as if everything is okay. It is not okay. It is time for this do-nothing Congress to do something, do anything, to help stop the carnage.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin wants to know how many moms, dads, kids, grandparents, friends, loved ones have to die before Congress has the courage to act on gun violence. Standing with Moms Demand Action, he speaks out for background checks.
I was going through the internet the other day and I saw a time lapse of what happened in Las Vegas. I couldn't stand to watch it to the end, but I forced myself to. It showed all of these concert goers huddling on the ground, waiting for the shooting to stop. And it showed desperate efforts to pump the chests of those who'd already been shot, trying to save their lives. And you think to yourself, where would this have happened? How could this have happened? And we know, sadly we know. It happened in the same country where someone walked into a first grade classroom in Connecticut and killed innocent children and their teachers. It happened in the same country where in the city of Chicago, which I'm honored to represent, we've seen so far this year 3,000 gunshot victims and 500 gun deaths in the city of Chicago. So far this year. And our city is not alone in this situation. And as was said by one of the earlier speakers, do we have the universal answer to stop every incident of gun violence? No. But we do have one approach here that we introduced today in common. An approach that, I hate to correct Chris Murphy, but the latest poll shows that the public support on this has gone from 90% to 94% for a comprehensive background checks, including 93% by gun owners who support a comprehensive background check. The public sentiment is overwhelming. Think of another issue in America that 94% of the people agree on. They agree on this. And when you hear this, you have to ask, in a representative democracy, what is going to happen? If 94% of the people are ready, why isn't the Congress ready?
On Monday, members of Gays Against Guns held a die-in outside the offices of Ted Cruz of Texas and Marco Rubio of Florida.
How many more have to die?
Gun control now!
How many more have to die? Gun control
The group now. Is pushing for reform of the nation's gun laws. John Grauweiler, a member of Gays Against Guns, is one of the seven group members arrested.
Yesterday, Gays Against Guns New York and Gays Against Guns DC partnered in a joint action to address several legislative issues. There were several demands. That was to pass Senator Chris Murphy's Background Check Expansion Act, to also pass Dianne Feinstein's assault weapons ban of 2013, and to reinstate federal funding for the CDC to study gun violence as a public health crisis. That was the focus of the action.
Our GOP senators and Congress members are puppets of the NRA.
Shame! 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 Shame!
We started the action. Shame. With staying outside the Hart building with a banner that read, background checks work. We had our members out there. There are also human beings who are present, and human beings are part of our brand. They are figures dressed in white and veiled, holding a placard of a person whose life was lost to gun violence, and we're representing victims from the Vegas shooting. So there were sort of a lot of different features to our presentation outside.
Michael Adolf with Gays Against Gun DC addressed the group.
So we don't want to be afraid going into churches, in the Mother Emanuel AME in South Carolina, in Sutherland Springs First Baptist Church in Texas yesterday. We don't want to be afraid going into movie theaters in Aurora. We don't want to be afraid going into music festivals at Route 91 in Vegas, in grade schools in Newtown, in high schools in Columbine, in college at Virginia Tech, at work in Orlando, Florida, and at a nightclub in Orlando, Florida, or anywhere everyday American life takes us. American citizens should not be afraid. Congress has said it was too soon to talk about gun reform in the days following the October 1st Vegas shooting. Well, they said thoughts and prayers, right? That's become this little ritual where they bastardize thoughts and prayers for people. It's become a PR campaign funded by the NRA. We're here today to talk to Senator Marco Rubio, Senator Ted Cruz, and Senator Heller from Nevada to demand that they support common sense gun reform laws in America. This has got to stop. It's time for a change.
Your thoughts and prayers are not enough!
Thoughts
Your
and prayers are not enough! Enough.
Thoughts and prayers are not enough! Thoughts and prayers are not enough!
Grauweiler says seven members of Gays Against Guns then went into the Hart building.
And we visited Rubio's office and Ted Cruz's office where we read statements. We expressed our demands.
Why target Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio?
Well, because Ted Cruz is a senator from Texas, and Marco Rubio is a senator from Florida. Both locations are sort of states where massacres have happened. So he felt it was important actually to call them out, to sort of approach them, to call them out and take responsibility for what's happened. So that's why we focused on on Rubio and Cruz.
And there's connection with the NRA?
And there is, yes. I mean, they've taken, you know, a lot of money from the NRA. And they, you know, we sort of understand that, that there is fidelity to the NRA and to sort of not their constituents. So that essentially they are, you know, have been bought by the NRA, and we want to let them know that we knew this and that we were holding them accountable. So this was the focus for the visit.
You're killing us for money from the NRA. 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 You're killing us for money from the NRA.
Gays Against Guns see this action as successful, and they vow to keep up the pressure.
The midterms are upon us, and that we are going to keep gun violence in the news, and that, you know, votes will be determined on positions on gun violence. That is our a goal of ours, that the voting constituency of our population will, like, that will become a talking point for them. Yes, I'm interested in you, but what is your position on gun violence? And we're pulling the veil back, and you know, along with other members of, like, the movement who have been doing stuff for a long time, but we're going to do it in more sort of direct action, demonstrative ways.
On Twitter, you can connect with Gays Against Guns by going to GAG No Guns. Meanwhile, an upstate New York pastor is planning active shooter training for his church. This follows the weekend shooting. Darius Pridgen posted the idea on social media on Sunday night, and he says other church leaders are now interested in the idea. Pridgen is pastor of Buffalo's True Bethel Baptist Church and also president of the Buffalo's Common Council. He says Buffalo Police SWAT team instructors will facilitate additional training in his district. In other news, a jury acquitted NYPD officer Wayne Isaacs of murder and manslaughter on Monday. The NYPD cop shot and killed unarmed Delron Small in an apparent road rage incident in Brooklyn on July 4, 2016. It was the first prosecution of a police shooting of an unarmed victim for Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. This since Andrew Cuomo gave him that role in 2015 in response to civilian killings by police caught on video. The family of Delron Small is devastated and outraged because the officer wasn't held accountable. Small's siblings said, "Our society must confront the problematic issues related to race and power that lead grand juries and juries to fail to hold officers fully accountable when they kill people of color." And there's also the case of Freddie Gray today in Baltimore. A disciplinary panel found the van driver not guilty on all administrative charges related to his transportation of Freddie Gray, whose death in custody sparked riots in the city. The three-member board said today that Officer Cesar Goodson didn't violate any police department policy. His lawyers say the police department failed to properly distribute a change in policy making seatbelts mandatory just days before Gray's arrest. Department lawyer Neil Duke, however, argued that Goodson should have been fired for failing to follow policy by not buckling Gray into a seatbelt and failing to get him medical attention. Gray died a week after his April 2015 arrest from a spinal cord injury, which he suffered during the van ride. And you're listening to the news on listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio. This is WBAI in New York. Today is Election Day. Voters in Virginia and New Jersey are choosing new governors in contests that could be an early referendum on Donald Trump. The elections pit two mild-mannered Democrats against two Republicans who kept Donald Trump at arm's length while mimicking Trump's posture on certain social issues. Swing state Virginia is expected to be close, as most polls show Republican Ed Gillespie within striking distance of Democrat Ralph Northam. In New Jersey, Democrat Phil Murphy holds a double-digit lead over his Republican rival. Current governors in both states, Democrat Terry McAuliffe in Virginia and Republican Chris Christie in New Jersey, are term limited. Outcomes of the contest could also shape how candidates campaign in next year's midterm elections. Here in New York, Syracuse, Albany, Buffalo, and Rochester are holding mayoral elections. In New York City, if the primary is any indication, voter turnout is not expected to be strong. Voters will probably give Democratic Mayor Bill de Blasio a second term. There's a write-in candidate challenging Cy Vance for Manhattan District Attorney. Former Brooklyn prosecutor Mark Fleidner jumped into the race after Vance came under fire for failing to bring charges against Harvey Weinstein for groping a model. That was back in 2015, and also for clearing Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump Jr. in a financial fraud investigation. So we'll have to wait and see how this turns out. And there are some new candidates for city council, like Marnie Halassa, who is running against Corey Johnson in Manhattan's District 3.
It's Tuesday. Vote for Marnie Halassa. Save New York. I want to save small businesses. I want to save tenants from hyper-gentrification, the displacement that it brings, and make New York City more affordable. And I'm the choice. I'm running against Corey Johnson. Corey Johnson is great on social issues, but he takes 68% of his large donations are from real estate, Wall Street, nightlife, and corporate philanthropy. I don't take any real estate, Wall Street money, which means that I can work for the voters.
WBAI caught up with Halassa at a Refuse Fascism rally to bring down Donald Trump and Mike Pence in Times Square over the weekend. She was dressed as Melania Trump in a full-length costume of dollar bills, walking alongside a Donald Trump puppet. No matter who you vote for, what's important is to vote, according to New York State Senator Andrea Stewart Cousins. She's the first woman to lead the state Senate's Democratic Conference.
When women vote, women win. When women vote, women win.
New York State has been a leader in the women's equality movement from the 1848 Women's Rights Convention in Seneca Falls to today. New York State gave women the right to vote in 1917, 3 years before the federal 19th Amendment was ratified. At a centennial celebration of women's suffrage, Andrea Stewart Cousins says even in progressive New York, there's work to do. That's because our legislature is still less than 30% women. Cousins.
You know, I don't take this position for granted. I am the first woman leader elected to lead a legislative conference in New York State history. And that happened because of my wonderful colleagues in the Senate Democrats Conference, most of whom are those enlightened men. Because our legislature is still less than 30% women. So even in progressive New York, we have some work to do. And so I remind you that we stand on great shoulders. I remind you that Susan B. Anthony actually decided she was going to fight for women's votes when she was arguing for temperance, and they decided they did not have to listen to her because she was not a man. And she said, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this. With Elizabeth Cady Stanton, with so many others, a woman whose home I represent. Carrie Catt in Westchester, she figured out how to lobby. She decided on the state-by-state strategy. She figured if she got enough people in the street, if she got enough women knocking on doors and making those phone calls and lobbying, state-by-state, she could make a difference. And she did. I stand on the shoulders of women like Sojourner Truth, who had to tell people, and I know John Kelly explained to us that women were sacred. But she didn't feel so sacred. And those women who were begging for their rights didn't feel that sacred either. But Sojourner, who had nothing, fought for her people, fought for her freedom, fought for women. And we've had wonderful women, whether it's Judith Kay, the late Judge Judith Kay, whether it's our own Sonia Sotomayor. Hey, for Sonia. Whether it's Eleanor Roosevelt. Yes. Name your person.
Bella.
Bella Abzug. Give me another.
Millie Friedman.
Shirley. First black woman in Congress. Gloria Steinem. Madam C.J. Walker. First black woman millionaire. Okay. There are statues to be erected. There are battles to be won. There are fights that are yet to be fought. And the people, the warriors who led us in the battle that has brought us this far, expect for us to not get weary, to not turn back, to not forget. As we pass the torch, we pass an enlightened torch, but we lead by example.
All right.
Nobody can rest, because 100 years isn't a long time in our very young democracy. It is in our hands. It is in all of us to make sure that the promise of the past enlightens the promise of our future. Happy birthday to us.
The president spoke at a centennial celebration in New York City last night. And at the celebration, it was announced that New York will build statues honoring suffragettes. One will honor Long Island suffragette Rosalie Gardner Jones in Cold Spring Harbor State Park in Suffolk. And a statue honoring abolitionist and women's rights activist Sojourner Truth will be built on the Empire State Trail in Ulster County. Here in New York City at Central Park, there will also be statues erected as tributes to women's contributions. Here is New York Representative Carolyn Maloney, who has been fighting for enactment of the ERA and for the Women's Hall of Fame Women's Museum, with information about the New York City statues.
Along with Gail Brewer and Pam Elam and Colleen and others, we had a celebration in Central Park where we announced an RFP and looked at the Village Green, the window box of almost every New Yorker, Central Park, and there will be a statue for two of the great leaders of the women's right to vote movement, Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony. It's very important when you think that in Central Park, I once did a study, that they have all these statues of women, but they're all fairy tale figures or are lyrical. You know, they have Mother Goose. They have, they have Alice in Wonderland. They have a witch, but not the real contributions of women. And too often, whatever it is that we did was like quicksand. It was erased and forgotten. So with these statues, the story's going to be told. And I'm working to build on the mall of the Capitol, the first and only museum dedicated to the substantial contributions of women in science, art, all areas. When I started working on it 15 years ago, I thought it just wasn't on the mall. They had museums for everything, law and order, stamps, fabrics, you name it, but not half the population. I thought it's got to be a museum someplace. There's not one in the United States dedicated to the achievements of women. We have sliver museums. We have one in Seneca Falls. We have one for the Museum of Artists and their artwork in Washington. We have Annie Oakley. We have Women of the West. But not one that's dedicated to our achievements, and it's long, long overdue. So, you know, but New York, as we celebrate this, I was looking at it, and You know, we had about 100 years ago the largest march of our time in 1915. Tens of thousands of women marched up Fifth Avenue starting in Washington Square. They marched in groups of teachers, musicians, garment workers, women of the Gilded Age, and self-supporting women. By the time the marchers reached 59th Street, other marchers were still leaving the staging area at Washington Square. So this mass movement was not unique to New York City. The nationwide movement, which culminated in the 19th Amendment, consisted of, listen to this, and there are a lot of female legislators here, and they know how hard it is to pass a referendum. It consisted of 56 state referendum campaigns, 480 legislative campaigns for state suffrage amendments, 47 state constitutional convention campaigns, 277 state party convention campaigns to get suffrage planks in the party platform. So, as Eleanor Roosevelt used to say, it's up to the women. It wasn't easy, and we're going to have the same fight when we go forward. Our founding mothers were so brilliant. They wrote way back then, if we don't get our act together, we'll be back at Seneca Falls 150 years later and not have the Equal Rights Amendment, which was introduced in Seneca Falls by Alice Paul in the Presbyterian Church. And Alice Paul was a distant relative of my late husband, Cliff, and she continued the work of these great ladies and is really credited with finally getting it passed. But she was sent to prison. She was sent to an insane asylum. She was proclaimed insane for thinking that women should have the right to vote. And she was force-fed, like many of the leaders, arrested many times, like Susan B. Anthony was, and it was hard. But they said if you don't, you would get the right to vote from which all other powers would come, and you need to be in the Constitution. And I want to tell you seriously, in this day of joy, that I have to spend three-fourths of my time in Congress trying to hold on to what our founding mothers before us in Congress passed to empower women. Constantly votes to chip away at a woman's right to choose, to chip away at Title IX, to chip away at Title VII. Just recently, Ms. DeVos, Secretary DeVos, swept away the executive order that protected women on campuses from sexual assault. And their Supreme Court cases, where women have gone to the Supreme Court in cases of rape, where it was uncontested, he confessed, and it's thrown out because she doesn't have standing. Well, I say, let's get our standing in the Constitution. Let's put women into the Constitution. Don't let them get away with it.
Representative Carolyn Maloney at a celebration in New York City honoring the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage in New York. And that's the WBAI Evening News for Tuesday, November 7th, 2017. The news was produced with Terry Rothlein and Reggie Johnson. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.